We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Friday. It's May 7th. It is 2021, and we have 14 baseball games that we're going to talk about. We don't know if it will end up being a 14-game slate because we do have some weather concerns. We'll obviously let Kevin Roth kind of tell us about that and see what he has to say. But, so we're going to go over all 14 games like we have a 14-game slate. I'm joined today by my good buddy, Genie for 07. Grant, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much. Had a pretty decent day of baseball. Played a whole bunch of Blue Jays and then took a several-hour nap because it's not too often where you get morning baseball, and that's the main slate. So, yeah, it's been a good day overall. Ready for this next one. Ready for the weekend. Going to be a good time.
Yes. I stacked Toronto too. Talked about them a bunch on the podcast yesterday, and I think I even made like the headline of the podcast, like something about Toronto. So what stinks is I switched out the catcher. Why can't I think of Jansen? I switched out Jansen to Gomes and went from, I forget who's pitching on the slate now. Like, I'm mind blanking, but I went down to Eovaldi. And that didn't work. I think I had Woodruff.
I had Wheeler, probably.
No, I had Wheeler, yeah. Like, I had Wheeler, Woodruff, and I went down to Eovaldi to get up to Gomes or something like that. But what a dummy.
You freaking idiot.
Listen, I think I tripled up, so I'm not mad. But just it was a good slate, so... All right, let's get into this one. Before we do, if you guys haven't already, make sure you head on over to superdraft.com. Awesome sponsors of the podcast. Love what they're doing over there on Superdraft. Use promo code Grinders for a $50 instant deposit along with the 50% deposit match bonus up to $500 on your first deposit of $50 or more. Check them out. Give them some love. We will have a Superdraft play of the day later on in the show. And Grant, we have 14 baseball games. Let's jump right in. We start with Boston at Baltimore. This is one of the weather games that, you know, we're definitely going to be seeing what Kevin Roth has to say. It opened at a 9 total. It's at an 8.5 total right now. Red Sox, a 173 favorite. Rodriguez against Harvey. Any interest here in Eduardo Rodriguez?
I mean, not really. It's not a terrible matchup going up against a decent strikeout rate team in the Orioles, but I always have a little bit of a problem trusting E-Rod to go late into the game. And yes, he's getting kind of limited because he's had some bad games and then they kind of yanked him out early, but still his pitch count, unless he's pitching very well, is probably only going to be around 90, 95. Worried about the rain. Like, his price tag isn't terrible at 9K, but there's a better pitcher in that range. So I'm probably off on him.
I think he could pitch really good if the weather holds off, but it just doesn't look promising for the weather. If Kevin Roth greenlights this game, I think Rodriguez is a guy with a 28% strikeout rate and a 3% walk rate since the start of last season. He has plenty of good stuff. Can strike out both sides of the plate. And honestly, like, outside of Mancini and Hayes, I guess Severino, but this is a pretty bad lineup against left-handed pitching. So I think E-Rod has some solid upside. It's just, you know, you get into the 9K price range too, and it's like, am I really going to pay 9K for a guy that might not throw 100 pitches that has some weather potential? Probably not. Matt Harvey on the other side, Grant's low strikeout guy going up against the Red Sox team with a lot of power. Probably going to pass on Harvey here.
No interest in him at all. Like, this is a tough team, and he's not a great pitcher.
He was at one time,
yeah,
a good pitcher.
Dude, he was phenomenal, and they had Tom Johns.
Yeah, just hasn't bounced back. Has only allowed 2 home runs this season, though. He's done a much better job this year in a very small sample size of generating ground balls against righties, using like his slider, sinker, fastball combination and generating ground balls against righties at least. What's your thoughts here on the Red Sox bats?
I mean, I think they're one of the better stacks in the slate, but again, I'm not sure how much if this game is going to play. Like, Harvey, obviously a guy that just not a great pitcher, is getting a lot more ground balls to righties this season, still giving up a decent amount of fly balls and hard contact to lefties. And so Devers and Verdugo obviously stand out. It's pretty good plays, but Harvey's still not striking out righties at a big clip. He's still giving out a decent amount of walks. So, like, I have no problem going with a guy like Renfro, going with Bogarts, going with Martinez, all guys that can get the ball up there pretty well. They have a 5.1 implied run total, so pretty much all systems go on this Red Sox stack, but you probably want Verdugo if he's in the lineup, and Devers definitely if he's in the lineup, just because, like, Matt Harvey's struggles versus lefties.
Yeah, I think obviously, like, Verdugo, Devers, great plays. If you're playing those guys, you're probably getting the stack in because of just how expensive those guys are in general. So I don't mind this. And then as far as, like, Baltimore goes, like, I really just don't have a ton of interest in these bats. Mancini's 4.3K if you want to go that way. I don't hate it. Severino's a catcher with some power against lefties. He's 3.8K. I wouldn't talk you off of those guys, but I'm probably not going to end up with them in my lineups.
Yeah, E-Rod just been a really solid pitcher this year, especially versus lefties. So the lefties are entirely off my list, even though DJ Stewart is sitting at 2.3K. And then righties, he's still been pretty solid. Gives up a decent amount of hard contact. So, yeah, I won't talk you off of Hayes, Mancini, Severino, but I'm probably just full-on fading the Orioles.
Moving on, we got Washington at New York taking on the Yankees. Patrick Corbin against Jameson Taillon. This game has a 9.5 total. Yankees are a massive 190 favorite here. Any interest here in Corbin?
None whatsoever. The Yankees are too good. Corbin really struggles versus righties. There's a lot of good righties in this lineup. He's just not the same pitcher. I'm out on him.
Yeah, there's a good chance he faces a whole right-handed heavy lineup. This is an easy fade. If Corbin beats me on this game, chalk it up as variance and move on. I think the Yankees are a top, if not the top stack on the slate. Taillon on the other side, 8,300 for a guy that has plenty of strikeout ability. He's kind of started the season slow. Grant, I think the pitch count is kind of priced into the 8,300, but I still don't know if the ceiling is high enough. Like, he was pitching phenomenal last game and got pulled at 79 pitches.
Yeah, I don't expect him to go over 80, 85 pitches in the spot here, which is kind of why I'm off of him. He has been a guy that strikes out guys at a pretty decent clip. He gives up a ton of fly balls, a decent amount of hard contact. So there is always a chance that it could go a little bit south for him. This Washington team isn't great, but it isn't bad. A few solid bats in the lineup. So I just don't like paying this much money for a guy that is only going to go 80 pitches. And yes, he doesn't walk a ton of guys, which help him go a little bit later into the games, but he still hasn't gone over five innings the entire season. Yes, he did have a 25 point outing last time going up against Detroit, but that was up against Detroit, and Detroit is awful. This isn't the same team. I'd expect him to be in the 16, 18 point range here. And so that's just not enough for me at A300.
Yeah, I worry about the overall ceiling. I don't think the matchup is terrible, but they do have guys that don't strike out a lot. So if Tyon was going to pitch 100 pitches in this game, I'd have a lot of interest. I think he'd be a top pitcher on the slate at this price, but those extra 20 pitches matter. I'm not going to run out of my way to play Washington here. I respect how good Tyon is, and the guy you'd probably want to play here is Soto, and he's banged up right now, dealing with a shoulder injury. And like Trey Turner is 5,300. You're going to find better shortstop plays on this slate. I just don't see myself using Washington bets.
Yeah, no real interest in anyone over on Washington. I mean, Tyon's a solid pitcher, and the Yankees have a really solid bullpen. So just going to be a tough game overall. They only have a 3.8 implied run total. Like, this is not a spot where you really want to target anyone. I mean, I don't hate going with a guy like maybe Bell, who's cheap, who can hit the ball at the ballpark. I mean, Tyon is a pretty extreme fly ball pitcher so far this season, giving up 53% fly ball rate, pretty even to both sides of the plate. So targeting one-off power bats is not the worst idea in the world going up against Tyon, but overall just not a great match, but not a spot where I want to stack anything.
And then on the other side, like I already said it, like, I think the Yankees are a top stack on the slate. Corbin stinks against righties. This team's a bunch of right-handed power bats. Like, this is the recipe for success and a lot of runs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love this stack here. It's probably the top raw point stack on the slate. Just have to see where ownership is going to lie at. But Judge, Stanton, LeMahieu, Torres, Frazier is a cheaper bat that you can end up throwing in, especially it ends up with a pretty decent lineup spot. He's only 3K, like, every single righty bat in here is fantastic. Hicks at 3K, like, this is the top stack on the slate. Yankees are still a bit too cheap, and I plan on using a lot of them today unless they're just going to be ridiculously owned, which I don't see happening on a 14-game slate.
Moving on, we got Milwaukee at Miami in this one. Brett Sutter against Rogers in Miami. This game has a 7 total. It opened as a 7 total. It's down to 6.5. The Marlins are a 138 favorite. Do you have any interest here in Brett Sutter?
He's not going to go late enough in the game. So, no. Like, again, he's 4K, but he might only go 40 pitches. This is going to be a bullpen game. So, I'm out on him.
Yeah, I don't see this. And I think Trevor Rogers is one of the best point per dollar pitchers on the slate. He dominated this team, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, maybe? And now this game's in Miami. Like, I know he's not going to throw 100 pitches, but give me 90 pitches in this spot. I think he throws 5, 6, 7 clean innings, and this is a great spot for Rogers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's a fantastic play on the slate, sitting at a 31% K rate since the beginning of last season. This is not a good lineup. I get having Kane in there definitely helps him out a little bit. But overall, like, this is a high strikeout lineup, especially going up against lefties. This is just a perfect spot for him. He grades out as the top pitcher overall on the entire slate. Maybe not raw points, but point per dollar, he absolutely is. He's probably going to be the chalk, and I still think he's worth it because I don't see many ways that this Milwaukee team really ends up beating him.
Yeah, I love him here. I don't like any of the Brewers' bats. Like, if you want to take a shot on Kane, or if you want to take a shot on like Taylor, I wouldn't talk you off of it, but it's more of those guys are just super cheap, and I completely understand why you would take a shot on them.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the only reason is because of price, but I'm not going to do it.
I mean, and then on the other side, the Miami side, like, I think Duvall at 3,900 is okay. My problem with Miami is, like, this is a Milwaukee Brewers bullpen game, and the Milwaukee Brewers bullpen is very good. So I guess like if you're playing Miami, you secondary stack them or like four man stack them just to be very different. But Jesus Aguilar is 5,100. Rojas is 4,400. Like Duvall, I think is a great one off. He would be the guy that I'd have the most interest in here. And Cooper's back. He would be the other guy that I would look at playing in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. And you don't really worry about lefty-righty matchups because Suter's probably only going to go two, maybe three innings. But yeah, the price tags of some of the bats I want, like Aguilar, not good. Duvall is really the main guy that I would think about going with. But yeah, it's just not really a great spot being played in Miami. Solid bullpen, so no real interest in Miami for me.
Yeah, I don't like I said, it doesn't seem like a spot on a 14 game slate that I necessarily have to attack. Arizona at New York facing the Mets. We got Zach Gallen and Peterson facing off in this one. This one's a 7.5 total. Mets 138 favorite. Any interest here in Arizona?
And Gallen? Yeah, I have a little bit of interest in Gallen. Obviously, the guy is a pretty good K rate guy. Not a terrible matchup going up against Arizona or going up against the Mets. They're going to obviously do some damage. Gallen never really goes too late in the game, but the upside is absolutely there. I don't think he's as good of a play as Rodgers, but he's probably going to come in at drastically less ownership. So I don't hate it. Gallen's obviously struggled a little bit more versus lefties than he has versus righties. And this could be a fairly left-handed heavy lineup here. So that's a real problem. Wait and see where it ends up coming out. But, I mean, they'll likely end up having 4 to 5 lefties in the lineup, which would kind of make Gallen just not really worth it because he's not going to go up to over 100 pitches. And he struggles a bit versus lefties. So just wait and see on the lineup. But most likely it's going to be a spot where you kind of want to avoid Gallen.
Yeah, sorry. I got distracted there for a second. I did mean Gallen. I don't think this is necessarily the worst spot. If he was cheaper, I think we would have way more interest in him in this spot. But the fact that he's so expensive makes it tough. Like the thing is, the Mets lineup is not great this season against right-handed pitching, but they're like not terrible. They're kind of in the middle of the road. So they just don't hit a ton of home runs. So I don't hate Gallen. I just wish he was cheaper. And then Peterson on the other side, I think he's someone that gets some ownership today, Grant. 7,900 facing this team and just a guy that people really like to play.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a little bit hit or miss, so if he's going to be high-owned, I'm probably going to end up fading him. But somebody who comes at just moderate amount of ownership, he's definitely a guy that's in play. The guy's sitting around a 30% K rate on the season. Had some good outings, had some bad outings, but has a 3.3 implied run total going up against him. It's being played in New York. The weather is a little bit cold. And there are some strikeouts in this lineup here. And this isn't the best hitting lineup in the majors. Like, there are some low strikeout bats, but overall just a mediocre lineup at best. So it's definitely a guy that offers you a little bit of ceiling as price tag of 7.9K because he can get that 8-10 strikeout game. I don't mind it. I just kind of want to wait and see where ownership's at for him.
Bats here, anything standing out to you for Arizona?
No, just like Peterson's a solid pitcher and prices on some of these guys are like Kelly's 5K, Escobar's over 5, Peralta's over 5, like maybe a Struble, maybe Christian Walker. Both of them are cheap, but that's kind of it. Like, I'm not taking Pavin Smith as lefty. So, like, the only two guys that actually have a price tag that's not ridiculous considering the matchup are Christian Walker and Estrull, and I don't have a ton of interest in them. Like, Kelly's been all right versus Red. He hasn't been great, but he's been all right. So, I'm probably fading the Arizona hitters.
Yeah, the guy you'd want to play is Kelly, but I'm not paying 5K for a catcher. Yeah. You're going to get a catcher batting in the top three of the order, but 5K is just a really tough ask for a catcher position. I think if you're playing anybody here, it's Walker at 3.8K. But again, I think you're going to find better first base plays on this slate too, especially in the matchup.
Yeah.
And then as far as the Mets go, like you could play Pete Alonso in any matchup. Lindor has been awful this season. He's 5K. Like, this game, these prices just kind of seem to price this game out. Like, maybe Conforto at 4.1K, but I don't even love that.
Yeah, Conforto, like, I would want to target lefties going up against Gallen. So, McNeil, Conforto, Dominic Smith are the probably only three batters that may be worth it. But even then, like, it's not a great stadium. It's not great weather. Like, it's not like Gallen's terrible versus righties. He's just worse versus righties. But doesn't give up a ton of fly balls. And I know that none of those guys are fly ball hitters, but I don't know. I think like the price tags just make no one really worth it in this spot.
Moving on, we got Cincinnati at Cleveland. This is another game that we're going to be kind of watching the weather. It does look a little bit better than it did earlier. 8.5 total. Cleveland's a 146 favorite in this spot. Any interest here in Wade Miley?
No. Just Wade Miley is not really a guy I play anymore. Cleveland has a 4.6 implied run total. Like, Miley's probably only won't get over 100 pitches. He's not a huge strikeout guy. Can get a little wild. This Cleveland team has a lot of patience and can walk at a pretty decent clip going up against lefties. Just a spot where I don't really have any interest in Miley.
Yeah, like, realistically, Wade Miley is a good real life pitcher. He generates ground balls. He doesn't give up a lot of home runs, and he pitches well. But DFS wise, he's not going to go out there and strike out a ton of guys and dominate a game. I think the price is fair at 6,700, but I just don't even know if he has enough upside on a 14 game slate to get you there. So probably not going to play him. Zach Plesac, I mean, this lineup's been worse. Castellanos is banged up. Votto's out. Is there a case to be made for Plesac, or is he just kind of too expensive?
I mean, I don't like that price tag, obviously. He is a guy that can go out and pitch pretty decent. Like, obviously not the same K rate this year as he was last year. He seems to drop, but that could be because he's predominantly gone against the White Sox. But, like, even with Castellanos banged up, even without Votto in the lineup, this is still a pretty solid hitting lineup. They're going from they're playing it against an AL team or NL team. I can never remember. Whatever, they'll have a DH in the spot. So that kind of makes them a little bit tougher, and they still have some depth, so they'll have some decent batters in there. I mean, you can make the case for it. Like, he's a solid overall pitcher, but he hasn't pitched the same this season. And you're just kind of like relying on the ball not flying out of the ballpark at all, and just BABIP landing in his favor. It is 48 degrees out there, but I mean, the price tag of 8.4K, I mean, you can get multiple other pitchers at a much lower run total. Like, just literally the last game, Gallen and Peterson are right around the same price tag, and 3.8 run total and 3.3 run total with better strikeout rates. So you can make the case for it. I'm probably going to avoid it.
Cincinnati bats, any interest here?
I mean, I'm more worried about the weather for them. Like, the weather and the prices on a lot of these. I mean, I think Moustakas kind of grades out as a pretty decent play sitting there at 3.6K. Nyquin is sitting at 3.8K. Those are probably the main two bats, but Castellanos at 5.3. Winker is at 4.6. Suarez is at 4.7. So I think the better move is to go with like the middle of the order, maybe a mini stack of Moustakas, Nyquin, and Senzel, all at cheap price tags. I mean, Plesac's been a little bit more ground ball heavy this year. Last year was a little bit more fly ball heavy, but still a guy overall that can give up some hard contact, and especially the lefties can give up a lot more fly balls. So I would probably target Moustakas, Nyquin, and Senzel. Like, if you want to create a full stack and you have the money for it, yeah, go ahead and throw in Winker or Castellanos or Suarez. But main guys are the cheaper price bats.
Yeah, like, I think Moustakas at 3.6K is probably too cheap. And Nyquin at 3.8K, like, those would be the two guys that I'd play the most of. And, you know, definitely would use them as a combo or one-offs. I don't hate it. Yeah, I wish Winker was a little bit cheaper because it'd make for a really good three-man. But he's not. Let's talk Cleveland side. Anything standing out to you for Cleveland?
You said already, Wade Miley's a pretty decent real life pitcher, gets a lot of ground balls. Like, this is a tough lineup. They can get him beat up. But I mean, if I'm going to target anyone, it would probably be the righties, like Luplow at 3.6K is the guy, and Franmil Reyes are the two guys that really stand out. Although, honestly, if you want to stack it up, like Rosario is sitting in there at 3.5K. Harold Ramirez, if he's in the lineup, he's 2.1K. Like, you can throw Hedges in for a cheap catcher. Like, if Chains is in there, he's 2K. This lineup's cheap is the main thing outside of Ramirez. So it makes us an interesting stack. Again, I want to wait and see what the weather is supposed to be like, because it's probably supposed to be 48 degrees tomorrow, which would be a big downgrade. Could be rain, so I don't know. Like, the weather's keeping me away, but as a point per dollar stack, if the weather's all right, they stand out as a pretty solid one, even up against a pitcher like Miley that doesn't give up a ton of damage.
Yeah, I don't love this spot. Like, Jose Ramirez, 5.6K would be my favorite if he was cheaper. I think if I'm going to play anybody, it'd be like a Luplow one-off top three lineup spot, good against lefties, but weather and Wade Miley, like, it's just not a great combo for a Cleveland stack in this spot. So something that I probably won't end up doing, and if I do, it won't be a lot of it. We got the Twins at Detroit, Shoemaker against Scoble, 9 total in this game. Twins a 148 favorite. Any interest here in Shoemaker?
I don't want to, but I kind of do. Detroit's just so bad. I mean, Shoemaker's been so bad. There's not a ton of guys to spend down on this slate. Like, he may only go 90 pitches, but I'm just hoping that he limits the damage. I mean, you look at all the way up and down this lineup, they are striking out at a massive clip, both versus righties and versus lefties. I think last time I checked, they are the highest strikeout rate team in the entire league versus lefties. And I think they were either right there or not far behind the top against righties. I'm pulling it up right now just to double check. Yeah, number two, striking out a 30% rate in 800 plate appearances versus righties. Like, I get Shoemaker is not great, like, really doesn't do a ton, but this lineup is so terrible, and he's cheap on the slate where there's not a ton of cheap pitchers. Like, right now, I think he's my number one option under 7K probably.
I mean, power to you, buddy. Shoemaker, I hope it works out. I actually don't hope it works out. I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of like Detroit as like a cheap stack today. So I know they're bad. I get it. I watched them, you know, kind of pounce my Red Sox a little bit over the last couple of days, but Shoemaker just stinks. He's so bad. I can't do it. Scoble on the other side, he's not much better. He's really bad against righties. This lineup is very right-handed heavy. Just one of the top stacks on the slate probably here in Minnesota. Don't play Scoble.
Yeah, no interest in it at all. He gets crushed by righties. He gets crushed in general. But he's a lot better versus lefties than right. Absolutely horrible versus righties, in fact. 66% fly ball rate, 33% hard contact rate, 426 ISO. Yeah, Minnesota is my favorite stack on the entire slate. Garver, like, I don't even care about Kepler going lefty-lefty. If he's batting leadoff, I'll still use him. Guy's still a stud, even though Skubal, like, has been good versus lefties so far this season. And good towards lefties in the entire career, and it makes sense with his slider fastball combo. I don't care. Like, he's not a good pitcher, and this Detroit bullpen's bad, but Donaldson, Buxton, Cruz, Polanco, Sano is probably one of my favorite plays on the entire slate. Point per dollar, just because Skubal is horrible versus righties, but anyone in this lineup, absolutely love him. Love him all the way up and down. My favorite stack on the entire slate.
I mean, yeah, they're in a great spot in this matchup. And if Buxton doesn't play, it'd be really interesting to see if Garver bats leadoff, which he probably will. And 5,200 for a catcher is a lot, but batting leadoff on the road is kind of juicy. So
against Skubal.
Like, You know, so obviously this is another game that you're going to have to kind of watch the weather on.
I hope it doesn't have bad weather. I hope it somehow clears up tomorrow because I really want to play this.
I mean, I'm not Kevin Roth, but when I looked at the weather report for this game, it was like maybe a late start, but it looked like it was pretty good after the initial rain. So I think this one would be okay. But again, we'll see what Kevin Roth has to say. Grant, I kind of like the Detroit stack. I know it's crazy. I get it. It just Shoemaker's so bad, and you got Grossman, you got Candelario, you got Goodrum, Badu. Like, there's enough lefties in this lineup that can get to Shoemaker here, and they're just so cheap.
I get that, but I just don't care. Like,
they're bad. I get it. Like, you know, garbage stack of the day, barrel picking here.
I'd rather take a shot on a better lineup going up against a better pitcher. Like, Detroit is just so terrible. Like, just so bad. I don't know. Maybe they turn around. Badu is the only guy I'd be interested in. Like, I'm not playing Detroit.
Yeah, I get it. Like, I completely understand the reasoning. Again, it's just they're cheap. If you want to go like two top end pitchers, like if you want to go Rodgers and like we haven't even talked about Carlos Rodon, Blake Snell. Like, if you want to go two top end pitchers, I think a secondary Detroit stack is not the craziest idea on this slate. They're just the pricing makes them very affordable and stacks with them very affordable. Moving on, we got Philly at Atlanta. 8.5 total in this game. Braves, a 175 favorite. Zach Eflin against Charlie Morton. Any interest here in Zach Eflin?
Not really. Like, I think some people may actually play him because he's been pretty solid this season. He's put up some pretty decent outings, but Atlanta's not an easy team. Obviously, very solid lineup. They have a 4.6 run total at 8.6K. Like, if I hadn't seen the 4.6 run total, I might have a little bit of interest in him, but that just scares me off far too much. So unless he's going to come in at no ownership, like, this is just too good a line. But maybe if Freeman's out of it again tomorrow, my interest in it would go up a little bit because obviously that's a pretty big hit. He was out of the lineup today. I think that might have just been because of the rest, but we'll see tomorrow. But if Freeman's in the lineup, I'm probably just out on it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a lot of interest in Eflin. I feel like I'm gonna come out ahead on the season if I just don't play right-handed pitchers against the Braves all year. So, and then Morton on the other side of this game, 7.7K. I think he's so interesting if Harper doesn't play. Like, he's dealing with a wrist injury, Harper is, and that just leaves a gap in this lineup. So bad. Morton would become, I think he'd become very playable at 7,700 if that happens.
I think that even if Harbor does end up playing, I think Morton's probably one of the top pitchers on the entire slate in terms of point per dollar, probably right behind Rodgers. He's 7.7K. He's sitting at around a 27% K rate on the season. Been a lot better versus lefties than he has versus righties. And there may not be a ton of lefties in the lineup. We'll see. I think who got hurt today? I played someone and they got hurt, and Herrera ended up going in for him. I can't remember who it was. But yeah, they may end up having a few lefties in the lineup here, which would definitely be an upgrade to Morton. But he's just been solid overall this season. This seems like a mispricing here. So I plan on using him quite a bit, unless he's going to be just super chalky, in which case I might end up stacking the Phillies against him.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that, but I completely hear you. Do you want to talk about the Philly bats?
I mean, like, they don't grade out great. Like, Morton's been pretty solid. He's obviously been a little bit worse versus righties than lefties. So targeting Hoskins, McCutcheon, Real Muto is not the worst idea in the world, but overall this doesn't grade out as a great spot for them. Morton, I'm just worried about Morton being like 40% owned on this slate because of the way that, like, a lot of the expensive stacks like New York and Minnesota just grayed out as great spots here. Like, I could see Morton being very, very chalky, in which case, like, it just makes sense from a game theory aspect to kind of stack against him, especially with righties. But he's a good, solid pitcher. Like, based on numbers, the Philly bats do not stand out as great plays outside of maybe Hoskins.
Yeah, it would just be to get contrarian if Morton's chalky. And I think that's the only way that you're stacking Philly in the spot. And then the Atlanta side, like, I don't mind lefties against Eflin. 240 ISO, 366 WOBA. He's been very good against righties, and I think we got to definitely respect that. So the problem is I just don't see myself paying 5.6K for Freddie Freeman as a one-off play. If you end up in that range and you want to, I wouldn't think it's a bad idea. It's just I don't think the full Atlanta stack is in play here.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, if you want to mini stack it, like, go Freeman, Albies, and, like, I don't know, Riley or Contreras, like a little 2-4-7 stack is not the worst way to go. But, like, yeah, Eflin's been super solid versus righties. He's just been straight up bad versus lefties. So any guy that can hit the ball, any lefty that can hit the ball hard, like, he's a pretty decent fly ball pitcher against lefties, gives up a lot of power. So Albies, Freeman are the only two guys that grade out well, but if you want to mini stack it up, not the worst idea in the world.
All right, moving on, we have Seattle at Texas. Flexen against Foltynewicz. Nine total in this game. It's really close to a pick'em game. Any interest here in Flexen?
I want to because it's Texas, but I don't think so. Like, this guy's not really a great strikeout pitcher. Granted, he was striking out guys a whole lot more before he faced the Angels. Been decent overall, and this is a high strikeout team in the Texans. Like, maybe if Morton is going to be super high owned in the same range, if I just don't think so. Like, that's basically it. I'd rather play the Texan bats. I think the roof going to be open tomorrow.
I didn't look. The thing that's somewhat interesting here about Chris Flexen is in a very small sample size, he's actually been better against lefties, and he's going to face a lot of lefties in this lineup. I don't think you play him, but I think this is a good test to kind of test that theory. It's such a small sample that it's hard to trust, but I think he's somebody that, like, if you're running 150 teams, I don't think he's the craziest option.
Yeah, and I kind of want to wait and see if the roof's open. Like, I don't, guy that we don't generally have that information. Yeah, we probably won't have it until tomorrow. But if the roof's open, I'm off flex. And if the roof's closed, then I could see playing him.
All right. Foltynewicz going up against Seattle. He's just so bad. Do you have any interest in Foltynewicz here?
Don't hate you, yeah.
I mean, listen, I completely get it. The bottom of this lineup is awful. It is like a triple A team. The top of the order, obviously Haniger, France, Seager, Lewis, they're scary. But even like Lewis strikes out at such a high clip against righties. I don't think you're crazy at all for like Foltynewicz in this game.
Yeah, and again, it probably like the dome being open or closed, like in the price tag of these pitchers. If the dome's open, I'm probably stacking up both sides of this game. If the dome's closed, I'm probably playing both pitchers a decent amount. Like, just kind of the way it is. Fulte is striking out righties at a much higher clip, and he'll probably only face 2-3 lefties in the lineup. And outside of Seager, the lefties are not good batters. He hasn't been great, but the biggest problem is that he gives him a whole bunch of hard contact and a decent amount of fly balls. If that dome's closed, like, we have a decent enough sample size from last season that the ball is not going to fly nearly as much as it is with it open. So it does make a pretty drastic difference whether the dome's open or closed tomorrow, especially since it's going to be about 90 degrees over in Dallas. Yeah, that's basically it. Like, that's what it is. It's so dependent on if the dome is open or closed, and the fact that it's at a 9 total right now, I'm guessing it's supposed to be open.
Yeah, I looked again. I can't find it if it's open or closed, but we'll see. Seattle Bats, like, I like Seager a lot in this spot. Even if you're wanting to take shots on Foltynewicz, you just have to know how bad he is against lefties and how much power Seager has. Like, I think Seager is one of the top hitters on the slate.
Yeah, no, even at 4.8K, still a really solid spot. Fulte giving up a 362 ISO to lefties, tons of hard contact, tons of fly balls. Like, Seager's the one that grades out as a really good play. I mean, even the righties, if the dome's open, like, Haniger is probably too cheap at 4.3K regardless. But you can play Kyle Lewis, you can play France. Like, Fulte is not a great pitcher versus righties. He just gets strikeouts at a pretty decent clip. I could see a Seattle stack, like, if the dome's open, because also Rangers don't really have the best bullpen behind them. So that's basically where I'm at right now. I'm waiting entirely on whether the dome's going to be open or not to kind of figure out where what I'm going to play, but Seager's in play regardless.
And then on the Texas side, like, if you think Flexen's going to regress, play Calhoun, Lowe, Gallo, Solak, Garcia, and just stack them up, especially if the Roop's open, like Grant said a couple times.
Yeah, I'm not going to mention it again, but I will play a lot of Texas Bats if that thing happens that I've said seven times.
All right, moving on. We have Toronto, the heroes of Thursday slate, facing Houston. We have Stripling against Yerkaity. Refresh really quick. 9 total, and Houston's a 140 favorite. Any interest here in Stripling?
Not really. Houston, solid bats. Don't strike out a huge clip. Stripling hasn't been the same pitcher he was a few years ago. So even at 7.2K, probably not a guy that's on my board.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of interest in Stripling. He doesn't pitch deep into games. He hasn't pitched well enough to pitch deep into games. Not going to strike a bunch of people out. And then the other side, Yerkaity. I mean, he's so interesting for tournaments. I don't think anybody is going to play him. I worry about just not striking people out against this team, and he's kind of reverse splits. So maybe he's not interesting. Maybe we should stack Toronto again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really on Yerkaity. Like, 8.7K, the price tag just gets me off him. He's not a big enough strikeout rate guy. Even going up against a decent strikeout rate team in Toronto, you're right, he's a bit reverse splitsy. I plan on playing a decent amount of Toronto bats. I mean, Teoscar Hernandez is 3.7K. He's too cheap. Simeon's 4K. He's too cheap. Biggio, Grichuk, Gurriel are all cheap. Like, the only two expensive bats are Bichette and Guerrero. So I really, really like the stack. I don't think it's going to garner a ton of ownership. I plan on using it quite a bit.
Man, I think Toronto's interesting here. I think Toronto, just looking at Yerkaity's like reverse splits and how many right-handed power bats in this lineup and how like Hernandez and Bichette are kind of reverse splits too, like I could see Toronto winning another slate here.
Yeah.
Any interest in here in Houston?
Yeah, Stripling's been a little bit reverse splitsy for the last 2 years. Like, so Altuve, Bregman, Gurriel, Correa. Problem is they're all expensive. If you want to throw in Yordan Alvarez, don't mind that at all. He still gives a decent amount of fly balls and hard contact to lefties, but definitely prefer the righties. But this is, they have a 5 implied total for a reason. Like, this is a pretty solid spot for them, and I have no problem with them at all.
All right, we're moving on. We got Kansas City and Chicago in Kansas City. I said it backwards because I read it backwards. Carlos Rodon against Brad Keller. We have a 8.5 total in this game, and the White Sox are a 162 favorite. Talk to me about Carlos Rodon.
I really like him in this spot. Dude striking out guys at a massive clip. Casey, outside of the top of the lineup, has a decent amount of strikeouts in it. Rodon might be my favorite spend up on the slate, a pitcher. Like, dude's just got great stuff right now. He can get a little bit wild, but not really a ton of walks in this lineup outside of Witt at the top of the order. So this grades out as a really good spot for him. I really like him on the slate. Hasn't had less than 25 points, I don't think, on his slate so far this season. Just a super good pitcher in a pretty decent spot.
Yeah. I think he's arguably the top play on the slate. I don't think anybody can really argue that with Snell, you know, somewhat struggling to start the season. I think he's clearly the number one on this slate. And then Keller on the other side, one of the reasons that Rodon is such a great pitcher on this slate is because he's going to have plenty of run support.
Yeah, Keller is just trash.
Doesn't strike anybody out, like 15% K rate. Like he throws the bats. He wants people to hit the ball.
Well, he throws the bats when he can. He also walks a bunch of guys. Just doesn't get any swing strikes at all. Like not a good pitcher. No interest in him even at 4.9K.
Yeah, any White Sox bats interest?
Yeah, a little bit. The problem is like Anderson sitting up there at 5.7K. Abreu's at 5.2K, but like I think throwing one of them into a stack is not the worst idea in the world. Like you said, Keller throws the contact and you can get a decent amount of ground balls, so may limit too many runs. So it's not the greatest stack in the world. But Moncada, Mercedes, Eaton, Abreu all kind of grayed out as pretty decent plays. Even Grandal, if he's in there, not the worst idea in the world. But overall, I think there are better stacks at the more expensive range on the slate.
And then the Kansas City Royals. This is a full fade for me. No interest.
No interest at all. Like maybe Soler is a one-off, but he's just got power. And like Rodon does go a decent amount of fly balls, but that would be the only person I even think about.
We got the Rockies and the Cardinals. It's a 7.5 total. The Cardinals are a 217 favorite. Gomber against Flaherty. Any interest here in Gomber?
Nah, he ain't good.
Like Grant's just like straight to the point. It's a lefty facing a team with a lot of righties, and he has some decent strikeout stuff against righties, but the top half of this lineup just doesn't strike out, so I don't think he has a massive ceiling in this spot. And then on the other side, I love Flaherty. I think if you want to go Flaherty, Rogers on this spot, it's a combo that I'm probably going to use a bunch on the slate.
Yeah, Flaherty be the guy that is kind of keeping me from going too heavily on Rodon. I mean, he's going up against the Rockies. The Rockies are not a good lineup overall. They're just a bad lineup. And I know that Flaherty does strike out righties at a much higher clip. There will be a decent amount of lefties in this lineup, but I really don't care. It's not like he's bad versus lefties. He just strikes out lefties at a bit of a lower clip, but he's still a solid overall pitcher to both sides of the slate or both sides of the plate. And this is just a bad overall lineup. So Flaherty just grades out as one of the best pitchers on the slate.
Yeah. The Rockies have hit the second most home runs at home this season. Do you want to guess how many they've hit on the road?
I think last time I checked, second least.
The least, 9. 9 home runs on the road this season.
I mean, they've also played less games on the road, but they are sitting at one of the lowest WRC pluses in the league.
They are terrible. Point I was trying to make.
Yeah, I just wanted to put it in perspective. They are terrible, but they haven't played a ton on the road. They've just been bad. I think they're second last to last in the league in terms of WRC plus on the road. Or no, they're 25th in the league. Still bad.
Yeah, I like Flaherty a lot in this spot. I don't have any interest in the Rockies bats. Do you?
Nope.
Cardinals bats, anything standing out to you here?
I mean, Gomber's still decent ground ball pitcher. He gives up a lot of walks, so if they're going to get it done, it's probably not going to be a whole lot of fantasy points. I don't hate it. Carlson's definitely a bit cheap at 3.4K. Arenado, Goldschmidt are always in play. O'Neill, I really like at 2.8K. That's probably the way I would stack it up. Maybe throw Bader in there. There's a lot of cheap bats to go with the expensive bats here. So Goldschmidt and Arenado are the only ones that really grade out as good plays everyone else is pretty decent for the price.
That's kind of where I see it. Arenado against his former team, against the lefty.
Yeah.
What could go wrong in that
trade?
I can't remember. He could have been. Pretty sure he might have been. I'll look
at it. Well, if pitcher versus former team generally grades out pretty well.
All right, it's the Battle of LA. It's the Dodgers and the Angels. It's a 9 total. Dodgers a 166 favorite. Urias against Canning. Any interest here in Urias?
I don't like the price tag going up against the low strikeout Angels team. So, not really.
Yeah, I don't like it either. You can make an argument for him, sure. But I just, you look at the matchups that he's had ceiling games in, Milwaukee and Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't Milwaukee or Seattle. Sorry. I'm out. I don't want to pay this price.
He's also definitely going against DH.
Yeah, and going up against DH. Canning, it's a righty against the Dodgers. Canning has some decent strikeout stuff, but he gives up a lot of fly balls and hard contact. And the Dodgers get to add another bat. Nope.
Yeah, I might end up being on a sprinkle of him just because of the potential upside. Obviously, he's a decent strikeout pitcher. Got decent stuff, but he gives up a lot of hard contact, live fly balls. It's a tough matchup, but I'll wait and see what the lineup ends up turning out. But he's a potential GPP guy. But that's just kind of where I'm at right now. I could see full on fading him if they put out their normal lineup.
Let's talk Dodgers bats. I think obviously they're a team that has a ton of upside. They get to add a DH. They're just so expensive. Like you're punting a pitcher. Like there's just no
both pitchers.
There's no way around it, Grant. Like you're not stacking this team like a full on stack without punting a pitcher. And that's even if you get like a Mac Beattie or somebody like cheap, like to DH cheap in this game. Cheap is
4.1K.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like there's just no, you're not, there's just no way you're stacking the Dodgers here without paying down at pitching. And I just don't think that's smart on a 14 game slate.
Yeah. I mean, maybe over on Super Draft might not be a terrible move. No, that's kind of it. Like the price, like they all grayed out. Is pretty decent plays, especially the low strikeout bats and Seager and bats like grayed out really well, but they're all just too gosh darn expensive.
Too gosh darn expensive is right. What are your thoughts here on the Angels?
Urias is a solid pitcher, solid ground ball pitcher. Dodgers have a good bullpen. I mean, Trout's always in play. Otani's probably an all right play, but it's a lefty-lefty matchup, so I don't really have a ton of interest in them.
Grant yawned, and he made me yawn. It's his fault. Tampa at Oakland. I have that
effect on people.
We got Rich Hill going up against Sean Manaea. It's 8 total. Athletics are a 145 favorite. Do you have any interest here in Rich Hill?
A little bit, but not a ton. Yeah, it's just – it's not like – it's not an easy match going up against Oakland. Like, they're a decent overall team. Rich Hill struggled a little bit this year at times, had some rough outings. Still sitting at a 26% K rate on the season. But they're going to have probably 8 righties in the lineup. So, don't really see a ton of upside for a guy that, if he's pitching poorly, they'll just yank him after 40, 50 pitches.
I mean, he dominated this team 2 weeks ago in Tampa. And that was a day that I think a lot of us were playing Oakland bats. Rich Hill can still strike people out. Like he has 28 strikeouts in 5 games. He can still strike people out. It's just when he's not on, he's terrible. And like you said, they yank him. Like it's as simple as that. Do you know what happened the other day? When they gave him like a short outing, like it was really weird. Like he wasn't pitching bad or anything. Do you have any idea what happened there?
I have no idea.
I mean, it's Tampa, so it could have been anything. But yeah,
I mean, maybe it's because I think any outing after he goes 80, 90 pitches, they just give him a short leash. I mean, against Kansas City, he was getting blown up a little bit. That could have been why he got yanked, or it just could be what they're doing. So I don't really know. I don't understand Tampa Bay at all.
I think the lineup's tough. I think it's a tough matchup. Sean Manaea on the other side of this game, like, I think he has some really strong upside. Like, I think he's a great tournament play on the slate.
Yeah, no, this is a guy that, like, obviously lefties going up against Tampa Bay is something that I target pretty often. They're a team that most of their, or a lot of their solid bats are lefties. So strikeout rate is absolutely there. His ability to go late into the games, he can go 100 pitches is there. Problem is he's 9.2K and he's right there next to Flaherty and Rodon. So I don't know if I'll be on it. Like, it helps say he's pitching in Oakland, but I think I prefer Rodon and Flaherty to him.
Yeah, I think he's just somebody that probably flies under the radar on this slate because of his price, and the matchup is good. Like, Tampa is a team that strikes out at a very high clip. So any Tampa bats that you like here?
Not really. Like, Vinay is a solid overall pitcher, and it's not a great ballpark.
Yeah, I don't really have a ton of interest. And then as far as like the Oakland bats, Laureano, Murphy, Chapman, if you want to play any of these righties, I'm not going to talk you off in Marcana. Yeah, Sean Murphy, 4.2K is not bad for a catcher. I think these power righties is where you would attack Rich Hill.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, and they're all their price tags are around 4.3K. So they're not too expensive. You want to throw Olson in there. Even in a lefty-lefty matchup, it's not the worst idea in the world.
I think the biggest problem when it comes to playing Oakland bats is the Tampa bullpen's good. So, man, when you get in that, like, seventh, eighth, ninth inning, you're not doing much there. San Diego at San Francisco is where we finish out here. Seven total. Padres a 140 favorite. We've got Snell against Descalfani. Any interest here in Snell?
Not really. Like, had a rough start to the season. Always got a short leash. 10.2K. I like the San Francisco bats. Like, you're limited upside. I'm probably just going to fade him.
I mean, Snell is matchup proof when he's on. It's just, this lineup's good. This lineup is one of the better teams, like one of the better lineups against left-handed pitching in baseball. So I don't really have a ton of interest in Snell. I would much rather play three or four other guys on the slate before I played Snell. Like, I will say, Grant, like, if you're playing a lot of teams on the slate, Blake Snell, when he's on, breaks the slate. So you definitely want to get exposure to him. Like, you're not fully fading him. Like, if you're doing like a 20-inch max, maybe you could fade him. But if you're playing a 150, I think you have to get some exposure to him because of his just overall, you know, ceiling. Descalfani on the other side hasn't been pitching bad to start the season. Like, it's a small sample, but he really hasn't pitched bad. He kind of had that one, like, really stellar game and then didn't pitch well against this team the other day. I don't want to play him. I'm just saying I don't think he's been pitching bad.
I kind of do want to play him. He's going to come in almost entirely unowned. He's been pitching really solid so far this season. Sitting around a 25% K rate. Pretty solid in terms of control. Has upside. They'll let him go 100 pitches. I like him. I actually really like him here. Even though it's a tough matchup going up against San Diego, it's being played over in San Francisco. It's a solid pitcher's ballpark. He's 7.6K is the main thing. I don't think he's going to come in very owned because people don't play guys against the Padres. But the Padres aren't that far below in league average in terms of strikeouts. They're a solid lineup. But the price tag and the ballpark make me on him a little bit.
Let's talk bats. Any interest here in San Diego?
I mean, I always have interest in him, but on this slate, it's very, very minimal. And bad ballpark. They haven't been hitting too great. They're expensive, so I'm probably out on them.
I mean, yeah, I think that they're always a team you can stack. And then as far as the Giants, I don't think they're the craziest stack in large field tournaments, but I don't want to stack against Snow.
Yeah, it'd have to be like whatever. Whereas the $18, 50K to first out of 150K, like you're only using them in top heavy payout spots.
Yeah, let's play the morning grind game, then we'll get out of here. Start us off, Grant. Favorite play under 5K. Oh, that's a bit basketball. I read the wrong one. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Yep, I'm tired.
I'm going to go real ballsy and go with Shoemaker.
Oh, man, it is bad down here today. Like, I guess Foltynewicz
against Seattle? Yeah.
I guess. I'm going to pick on him here in a second, too. Over 8K to score under 15.
I'll go with Urquidy.
All right. I'm going to go way off the board. I'm going to say Blake Snell.
I like it.
It's Freaky Friday, man. Feeling Friday. Over 4K to hit a home run.
Nelson Cruz.
All right. I'm going to go Kyle Seager. Under 4K to get two hits.
Miguel Sano.
Wow. Who's that guy? He still plays baseball?
Yeah. Might not even be in the lineup.
I'm gonna go Grichik. Stack to score six or more runs.
Twins.
All right. I'll go Blue Jays. Any bets standing out to you here night before?
Twins minus 140.
All right.
Did you notice a trend there?
Man, I love the over in the Blue Jays Astros game. I love the over in that game. It's like minus 114 too. It opened at minus 108. Anyway, super draft play of the day. Do you have one that you're ready to go with here?
Nope.
All right. I'm going to stick to the theme of yesterday's podcast. If you listened to me on super draft yesterday, you probably crushed it. I know there was a couple of people that like added me on Discord, but I'm going to go Bichette and Grichik. They're 1.4X. I love Toronto again today, going right back to the well. I also really like Kyle Seager at 1.25. That's who I got today on Superdraft.
Yeah, I'm kind of following the same thing. Ty France, 1.65X. Kyle Lewis, 1.75X. Torrens, if he's in the lineup, 1.75X. Seager, like, stack up the Mariners over on Superdraft. I know that, like, anytime you can get a solid stack at, like, an average of 1.7, you're in a good spot over there. So Seattle's my favorite stack over there, and those are my favorite bats.
As far as pitchers go, Rogers is 1.95, just so you guys know. And then Carlos Rodon is some ridiculous number two. You can go Rodon. You can go Sean Manaea too. He's 1.9X.
Urias is 2X.
I know, but I feel like that's a trap.
It's not. Manaea, Urias are the two top overall pitchers, and Rodon's not far behind at 1.75.
Give me Rodgers to outscore those first two, Manaea and Urias.
Fair enough.
I feel like Urias is a trap. I'm not going to do it. He's going to be so popular. I might have to run a few lineups on Superdraft today. So they have a $20 three-entry max baseball tournament over there too. So there you go. That's going to wrap it up here for Friday. If you're playing NASCAR, we got three races this weekend. We got the truck race today on Friday night, and then we got Xfinity on Saturday and Cup on Sunday. So make sure you guys are checking out the NASCAR package here at RotoGrinders. Hope everyone has an awesome weekend. We'll be back Monday talking some more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.
Hey, kids.